Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's my brother, he
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's
Women
right.
Show, Jay Deal and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women, Jay Deal. Yeah. Two wise women, you know Dr. That. Lamar. Two wise women, you better pay attention.
I'm going to pull him in, okay?
Two wise Ooh. Women.
I'm going to put my brother in.
Good morning. And welcome to the show. We are two wise women, Dr. Lamar with The Wise Inc.
And Jadea with You Are Worthy.
We are here to educate, illuminate topics that have to do with relationship, sex, money, and love. We are committed to your knowing and growing. And I just want to welcome everyone to the show. Welcome, 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 welcome. And thank you. On last week, we had a phenomenal show. Got a lot of feedback about the topic. And with that being said, I'm sure we're going to go into it some more just to give the listeners what they want. And I'm going to turn it over to Jadea and let her tell us about and talk about what it is that she has to discuss. Ms. Jadea.
Well, good morning, listeners. Today's show is a good one. It's one of those topics that men and women tend to disagree upon. So we want to illuminate this discussion by first looking at what's a good date? Like, what's the first good date? Because I'm dating, as you listeners are well aware. I talk about it all the time. And one of the things that I do is I like to be able to communicate with the person that I'm dating for that first time when we're meeting. And, Dr. Lamar, I hear a lot of background noise. So I'm just wondering, what's a good first date? Because sometimes people like to go to the movies, or I'm trying to think of some other places that doesn't really facilitate talking. They may want to go out to a club or even to a bar. And I think a good first date location is going to a nice coffee shop. This way you can sit and interact and communicate and see if there's some chemistry, there's some energy going on. What do you think, Dr. Lamar?
Well, I think communication is very, very, very important on your first date because it gives you guys an opportunity to see if you have some things in common, because I think compatibility is very critical when dating. However, I'll be honest with you. I think whatever is fun for me, and I've been married for 15 years now, so it's been a long time since I've been on a first date. But I do remember I'm not like a traditionalist. I don't necessarily like the coffee shop because I don't like coffee. I don't like the way that coffee smells. But I like it when I was able to see like my husband and his true element, like going for a walk in the park or going bowling or something like that, or going out to eat. And so those are some of the things that I think is fun. I really love to eat. So those are the things that I think, you know, are really good for a first date for me. And I think it depends on the individual.
Yes, this is true. I would agree with you. One of the things that I'm not walking in the park. It's too hot in Atlanta, Georgia, to be walking in the park. And then in the evening time, there are too many mosquitoes. So that's a cancel. But I do like the bowling, like something fun to do, even playing pool. I'm not a big bowler, but I like to And I'm not good at shooting pool either, but it's something different, which will allow me an opportunity to interact with that person. And I like what you said, in his element, or I'm going to introduce him to my element. Like, either that first date will be my element or his element. And I like that idea, because one of the things it does is that it allows both of us to relax. For me, you're introducing me to one of the things that you do for fun, because that's important. How do you relax? What do you like to do for fun? The flip side of it is, are you going to be interested in doing some of the things that I like to do? So, and usually what I've noticed is that men are very accommodating. They do ask, like, what do you want to do? And I think it's important that when they ask that you have an idea of what is it that you enjoy doing versus, oh, anything will do, where it seems as if the woman is trying to set him up to see if he got an idea, and he's really just wanting to see, what do you want to do? Because he wants this date to turn out. He wants to see if he can make you happy. What is it that you want to do? And I think it's very important that we have an idea of what it is that we want to do. What do you think about that, Dr. Lamar?
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because you know what? Honestly, and we've talked about needs and wants. When a gentleman asks, you know, what would you like to do? He's trying to provide a need, and I do think that's important to be able to tell someone. But at the same time, I'm interested to know what is the first thing that pops in your head for a nice romantic date, like, and which will give me an idea of what kind of person the guy is. It's like if you say, you know what, I tell you what you pick. You pick this first date, and then I'll do the second one. I would be interested to see where he went, because what if he decided to go somewhere like a strip club? Like, you know, I really like the strip club. So that would give me an idea of just kind of, because the first day or the second date, he really doesn't know me that well. He really doesn't know, you know, what it is that I like or what I prefer. So I would really be getting the true raw him. So I would really be interested to see where he thought, or where a location that he thought was an appropriate date, which would tell me a little bit more about him. And if he picked a place that I didn't think was cool, like, I definitely wouldn't want to go to a strip club on a date or the first date, I would definitely say, you know, well, you know, nothing's wrong with a strip club, but that's definitely not a place that I would like to go, and I would probably provide an explanation. But I would definitely like to get some feedback from him for that first date. So, yeah.
That's an interesting one right there. I wouldn't want to, because to me that feels like a setup. Let me see. And I don't want my first date to be romantic. I don't know you, so I don't want to get romantic with you on my first date. Now, I get what you're saying. You want to see what type of potential you're working with. But, no, that first date to me is really a meet and greet. We're just gathering information. We're meeting. We're greeting. Because if I had seen him out at a place, because I do the online dating, but if I had already met him someplace, then I already know that, ooh, I like him, he's cute, and he has assessed me and said the same thing. So then maybe that first date when we've met in person may be elevated up a little bit. But anyway, that's interesting, which leads us into our topic for today, which is, when is the right time to have sex when it's a new relationship? And this is a question that we hear a lot of discussion around. And I know a lot of people are aware of Steve Harvey's book, Act Like a Woman, Think Like a Man, where he advocates 90 days. And then I don't know how many of you are familiar with The Millionaire Matchmaker, and her rule is no sex before monogamy. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Dr. Patricia Jackson. She has an entirely different rule. And then I hear people talk about no sex before marriage, or at least the first 6 dates. So there are all these different rules out there about when one should have sex. And our callers, if you're out there, press 1 to get into the queue. And if you also want to comment on our last topic, press 1. And we have a caller already, so we're going to see what our caller has to say, and then we're going to dive deeper into the conversation about when is the right time to have sex. Okay, let's see if we can get our caller queued in. Okay, caller with the last 4 digits, 7977, state your name and where you're calling from.
Jordan from New York. So,
good morning, Jordan. Welcome to the call.
All right.
Want to talk about?
I was going to talk about the last one, but now that I have this topic right here, it's fresh on my mind, so I don't want to forget. So let's start with this one.
We really would like to hear, because as women, we got our idea about dating thing. So as a man, what do you have to say? Give us your input, your feedback.
I mean, I would first like to go somewhere where we can at least develop the chemistry. So if it's just, you know, at a restaurant or go get a bottle of water or, you know, or like you were saying, coffee, even though I don't drink coffee myself, but just somewhere so that we can talk. Even if I'm going to the pool, I don't know, because I might not want to spend that time. You know, we might not have that chemistry. So just to sit and talk and kind of, you know, volleyball, you know, information back and forth to each other just to see if we have it. Then from there, then we can probably, you know, if it's there, you feel a chemistry, you feel it, you know, then we can go bowling, then we can go shoot pool. But first, me personally, I like to go somewhere where we can sit. And the lighting has to be, if it's dark, the lighting has to be good, because I want to see everything. And, you know, I don't want no sea donkeys, you know. So I just want to be able to conversate and get across, you know, who I am and what I do and what am I expecting or what am I looking for, and vice versa. And then from there, you'll see if you have that chemistry. And then you can say, all right, come on, let's go play some pool, or let's go shoot, or let's go bowling, or let's go, you know, whatever. But the initial, the first is getting to know each other. So that's just on me. Now, let's roll over to the second one. The 90-day rule, that's what we're talking about, right? The 90-day rule?
No, I'm just saying, when is the right time to have sex in a new relationship?
Great.
And I just bet Steve Harvey says,
right,
wait 90 days. And then Patty Stringer from The Millionaire Matchmaker says, no sex before monogamy. So if he's willing to be monogamous on that first meeting, then she goes, go for it.
Right. Well, they're both idiots. So Steve Harvey is an idiot, and the other guy's an idiot. So, and the reason why I say that is you can't put a time restriction on lovemaking or just love, period. Because what happens, you know, you start off on March 1st, and then by June 1st, you're like, okay, expiration date is up. You know, we're going to have sex tonight. That's not it. You know, it's all on the two people. To me, it's all on the two people. You know, it could happen the first night. It could happen the second night. It's just the chemistry. You know, you don't know once you're leading up to it. You know, because the days and the weeks that come before that, you're kissing, you're talking sexual, you're doing it. So it's going to lead up to that one night where everything is going to happen and, you know, euphoria is going to be all over the place. You know what I mean? So you can't just put that 90-day rule. He did that to sell books, and the other guy, whatever. But it's just, you know, you can't put a time stamp on when you're going to do it. It's just going to happen when it's going to happen. You know, if you attract it, the attraction is what is principal in all of that. If you're attracted to that person is attracted to you, then it's going to happen. It ain't no 90-day rule and all of that stuff. That stuff is just out the window. So that's just my take on that.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for sharing that. Dr. Lamar, we want you to chime in on this because I will give my comments, but I would love to hear what you have to say about this, Dr. Lamar.
Well, to be honest with you, this is a very can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you very well.
Okay, good deal. Well, in my opinion, I think it just depends on the individual. I think sometimes the reason why we set dates or days, sometimes we follow by them, sometimes we don't, is to make sure that we're following in the guidelines for us. Sometimes you may set a date for 90 days. Some days you may reach the 90 days. Some days you will not. But this is the thing for me. It depends on the relationship. It depends on the purpose of sex. If you're knowing that you want a committed relationship, for some people, they need to know that there's some commitment from the other person. And in my opinion, I think that it takes, you know, a month or so, sometimes a couple of months, for you to get to see that true person. And sometimes having sex too prematurely can compromise the relationship. But again, if it's just a sexual relationship and you guys have already agreed, you know what, if we make it, we do it. We don't. I just want to see, you know, what's really going on or what you're working with, then you don't necessarily have to have that time. But, again, I really think it depends on the individual. And I think 90 days or 60 days or 120 days, I think it's all based on a person's comfort level. And in my opinion, I don't think in a month or two you can really know a true person. And say you have sex, you really want to be in a committed relationship, and you give yourself 30 days. You have sex with this guy, you know, and vice versa, and you realize 2 days after the sex that he's a bugaboo or he's a buster. So now, as a female, your sex number has gone up, and it's been wasted. It's like, I need to get a real relationship, and now I've added another notch on my belt. And so, again, I think it just depends on the individual and your standards. Your standards, yeah.
That's very interesting that you said something, the last part that you said, that I would like to touch on. The thing that I'm aware of is that sex changes the equation.
Yeah.
And we have to be honest about that. We pretend that sex is not going to shift who we are being in this relationship. Sex creates expectations, uncommunicated expectations at that. And when we're not really clear about what this means, then and I think women get hurt easier and quicker with the sex thing than a man does because of all the stuff that we put on sex. And what you just said, that's another notch, because it's almost as if men don't expect you to have a lot of experience, but they don't want you to be a dud in the bed. So you got to get this experience from somewhere, like, oh, I read a book, that's why I'm so good at giving head. Or, no, I saw this in the movie, so that's why I know how to do this move right here. It's like, no, somebody done taught me this, well, this is a grown and sexy show. But someone has taught me these moves. I done learned it somewhere, but you're right. It's like, how many is too – that should be a show. How many is too many sexual partners for a woman? Because for a man, no one says, well, after you – as a matter of fact, for a man, the more he has, he brags about it. If anyone remembers Wilt Chamberlain, I think he said he had sex with 1,000 women, or was it 10,000? It was something –
23,000. 23,000.
Oh, 23,000. So, and that, I mean, the media went crazy with that. But if a woman has said she's been with 23,000 men, it would have been a different conversation. So you're right, Dr. Lamar. It's like putting those, at least here in the United States, we're all about downplaying as women our number. We don't want our numbers to get too high. We ain't owning up to it. My thing is, I'm not a virgin. That's what you need to know and understand. Those so how many is none of your business. Just know that I'm not a virgin. If you're looking for someone that's a virgin, you need to keep this moving. So with all of that being said, we need to be very aware of how the shift in this dynamics of the relationship that sex will introduce. And if I'm not ready for that emotional bonding, because it's going to happen, because the oxytocin that is released when I have an orgasm, that man is there, and I'm going to adhere to him. And I think men need to be more responsible about that. Jordan, since you're alive, what do you think about that? Like, when a woman has sex with you, what is going to happen is she now becomes emotionally vulnerable, and it causes her to be a little more clingier and insecure. And it means something to her. And to do it too quickly, we're trying to make sure, because it's a strategy. At the end of the day, when I'm going to have sex is me strategizing on this relationship, me having a relationship in it turning out. Now, as Dr. Lamar said, if it's just sex, hey, it just needs to be good. I need to get an orgasm. But if I'm aiming for a relationship, I need it to turn out, and that's my last card. Like, that's my trump card. That's my, if you play spades.
Right. Well, I mean, to Dr. Lamar's point, when she touched on as far as waiting, that waiting period, and being a buster, you know, if it's too fast, a person can hold out, you know, have what I call, and hopefully this is no offense, lesbian-like patience. And what that is that I can wait as long as you want me to wait. And then once I get it, I'm gone, you know. And I could be a busting. I could wait 90 days. I'll probably even be mad waiting in 90 days knowing that you're making me wait 90 days. And boom, I'm having it, and then I'm gone. But to me personally, if I'm shooting for a relationship, again, in my lifetime, I've never had a restriction put on it. Now, I can wait, you know, my top number, if we're going with the whole Steve Harvey thing, my top number is 6 to 8 weeks. You know, 6 to 8 weeks, something got to happen. You know, I have waited longer, but 6 to 8 weeks is my number, but I really don't even look at it like that. I just, you know, we're attracted to each other, and, you know, we conversate, and once we have sex, and if she's clingy and the sex was good, you know, and she can cook, and she can make cereal from scratch, we go in. We are going in.
I got to jump in. I have to jump in. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. You are always so very insightful, but I got a trick, and I think, and I'm just going to put it out there. You know, somebody may get offended. It's okay, because this is my personal opinion. You can only hide for so long. And I think that's what happens in relationships. I think, and we talked about this on one of our shows, if you're asking the right questions, if you're hanging out the way that you should be hanging out, you can only hide for a month or so. I have never heard, well, yeah, you know what, I won't say that. I've never heard of a person being able to hide unless you wasn't really spending a lot of quality time. But if you're spending quality time, then your true self is going to show up. Now, what would be a red flag for me is you single, I'm single, I'm trying to hang out, and you only want to hang out once a month, then, yeah, you're right. It'll take almost a year for me to be able to get to meet you. But I think we have sex too soon sometimes. I think you having sex with someone and you don't even know what they like. You don't know what they dislike. You don't even know their middle name. You don't even know where they live. You don't even know if he has kids or not. And I think what happens is, for me, it's important for me to have an idea of who you are so I don't feel like that I'm sleeping with the enemy. And I think sometimes that's how they came up with those 90-day rules. I'm thinking it's just setting some form of standard, and putting a number on it, and that's about it. And I do think in 90 days, you hanging out consistently, you know, a couple of days out of the week, every other weekend, you're going to find out who this person is. Some things are going to happen on these dates and you guys interacting. And if you can fake that good and you do what you're supposed to do to make me feel safe and you have sex with a person and you trick them like you was like, I get it, and then I'll be out, then you tricked yourself. That's what happened. You done spent your money. You done been a perfect gentleman. And hopefully you have learned in that experience, like, dang, that was really fun. That was nice. I enjoy hanging out with her. Maybe I should be giving her more. But I just think sometimes we have sex too fast, and men and or women just aren't willing to commit. It's like, shoot, I done got it. The challenge is over. I don't have to work hard for it anymore. So, yeah, no, I don't think you should have sex fast unless the purpose of this relationship is to have sex, and you can do it whenever you want to do it, and, you know, in that case. But those are my two pennies.
Well, I like what you said, Dr. Lamar, because it's really just a guideline. It's a guideline for us to determine who is this person, because you're right.
Yeah.
I notice we don't ask a lot of questions. Like, even with me, they're the typical questions that I tend to run into when I meet someone. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? How many kids do you have? Are you married or divorced? Like, where'd you go to school? Sometimes you'll get the where you go to school, what type of work you do. But beyond that, like, have you ever been arrested? Do you even like your name? Like, what's your favorite
your
food?
Name?
Yeah, right. Like, that's what I'm saying. People don't, like, the last guy that I had a relationship with, I have a list of questions. And I sent them to him. I was like, here's a list of questions. And let's ask each other these questions in an attempt to discover who we each are. And one of the things that showed up was he had been arrested. Like, normally we don't go out and say, have you ever been arrested? We don't even ask people, do you have a sexually transmitted disease? Do you have herpes? Have you ever had gonorrhea? None of those things show up. It's like, and I don't know why people aren't asking these questions, as if these things are not important. Are you behind on your child support? Do you like your mama? Like, all of these things will give me an indication of who you are. Do you get along with your family? Because if I'm in a relationship with you, your family coming along at some point. Are they messy? Is it drama? Do you spend a lot of time with your family? I had a coworker, and whatever she did involved her family. So if you wanted to hang out with her, you were hanging out with her family. So those are the and you can't get upset with them because this is who they are. And I think there's a lot of emphasis on sex also. I need to hurry up and get it. And I think, why? Like, what's the rush? Let me get to know you. But then again, we are very, in this country, we are a highly sexualized country, but we pretend that sex doesn't exist. It's kind of like, I was reading this article, and they said that by the time a child is 18 years old, they will have experienced 200,000 acts of violence through videos, movies, television shows, but we don't talk about sex, which is natural, which is how we get here. It's a part of the creative process, and we don't want to talk about it. Like when that nipple incident with Janet Jackson during the Super Bowl, everyone got upset. But it's like, it's a body part. Men walk around exposing their nipples all the time. But when hers was exposed, it was ridiculous. And we have for us to be an educated society, we have the highest level of teen pregnancies, the highest level of STDs based upon statistics. And it's because we walk around and pretend that it doesn't exist. And it makes me wonder if that creates that demand on it. Jordan, you want to jump in on this? You got anything you want to say?
I just think that, you know, it's going to go back and forth, but me personally, those are the questions without the sexually transmitted part, but those are the questions I ask anybody that I'm initially, you know, attracted to or and we're, you know, trying to develop a relationship, I ask them all of those questions. You know, do you have bad credit? What's your credit like? What's your criminal history like? You know, what's your baby, if you got kids, what's your baby daddy like? Is he a serial killer? Is he a, you know...
is he a stalker?
Yeah, you know, I need to know all this information because I need to be armed with that. You know, do you have money problems? Is your car okay? You know, I ask, that's just me. I really ask those questions, all of them, on the first date. Like, I try to get it all out there. And if they ask, they want to know anything personal about me, I don't hide it. I let it out. I let it all out because I don't want no, I want you to know who I am. And then if you can accept who I am, you know, moving forward, then that way you'll know that there's no lies, you know, moving forward. But, you know, just having sex quick, I'm not going to say having sex quick is a bad thing, is a good thing. But what I will say is I would like to take the time to know a person. Or it is a good thing to take the time to know a person, know who they are, know what their habits are. And usually when I, you know, have sex with a woman or if I'm in a relationship, normally I'll know where she live at, she'll know where I live at. So that way, you know, those two things has been, you know, discovered. And after that, that's when it starts leading into other things. And then once you make love, I think only an idiot would want to make love just once unless the sex is real bad and then just leave, get out. I think usually what happens is you have it a few times and then you start to develop this bond. And I think once you do it, it draws you closer. If you're in a good space, it draws you closer. And then you start to go through what I call a Google Gaga stage where, you know, everything is just, you know, you can't think without the person and the person can't think without you. And at the end of the night, you know, okay, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up. Okay. At the same time. So, you know, you go through all those little things like that. So, but it's just, we're adults and it's just, you know, if we were teenagers or, you know, after college years, then maybe, but, you know, this is a grown and adult show, and I think that, you know, we're just adults, and I think that's what it is. We're just adults, and you'll know when you know. That's all I can say. You'll know when you know. That's all I can say.
So then, yeah, so I'm curious because we do have parents who listen to the show, and they have children, and their children may be young adults or older teens. And what do you, if you're having this conversation with your daughter or your son, what advice do you give them? And do you give them different advice? Dr. Lamar, like, what would you tell your son when he's like, Mommy, I'm in a relationship and I love her and I'm thinking about having sex. Like, when should I? Or if this is your daughter and I don't know if she is coming to you, or would you have the conversation with her first? But if it... Because this conversation is not even being had with our young people. I have a good friend, and her daughter became sexually active. But her daughter was 18. And I said to her, has your mother talked to you about sex? She was like, no, Mommy won't talk to me about this. And I went to my friend. I was like, why aren't you talking? And she's a nurse. Why aren't you talking to your daughter about sex? And, I mean, what she said made sense, but it didn't make sense. She was like, it's hard to talk to my daughter about sex. I can't see my daughter having sex. But the flip side of it is, where is she going to get her guidance from? Who can she turn to about something that's very charged? Because sex is emotionally charged. It's spiritually charged. It's mentally charged. Who is she going to turn to? Her friends? Who did they turn to? So this is our opportunity to guide our children. So I'm going to stop preaching to say, if you have children, what do you do? What would you tell them? How would you guide them? Dr. Lamar? Jordan?
Well, you know what? I think I think, first of all, I want to go back a little, and I definitely want to address how you talk to your child or how I would talk to my child about sex. And but first of all, I want to go back. I know we were just talking about asking questions on the first date. Now, again, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been married for 15 years, and a lot of my single friends, they say all the time, you know, the dating game has changed. It's not the same. It's not the same. I'm just saying, this is what I think. I think the dating game is the same, just some of the rules has changed. I think men are men. They've always been men. However, I think we have to make certain adjustments because we are a highly sexualized society. But they've been having sex since the beginning of the day. And we talk about, you know, our teenage right now. Well, my grandmother had her first child at 12, and she worked. And then, you know, generation, you know, on down. But we, you know, parents have been having children at young ages. People have been having sex at young ages for a long, long time. But I want to back up to say I would be very careful with the questions that I ask when I'm dating because, you know, if I'm on a first date with a guy and he hit me with 50 questions, I'm turned off. Like, hopefully these questions can happen just in conversing. Hopefully, you know, and you can have in your mind the question that you want to ask. But if this is my first time dating a guy and he asks me about my credit, I may not even like him. So he wouldn't even be privileged to that. Like, yeah, no, I have a score of 175. That's none of your business, Joker. So I think certain questions should be asked at certain times. How many men you've been with? That's none of your business until it's about that time that I'm thinking we liking each other. And he said, you know what? I think it's time to move this relationship to the next level. Let me ask you a question. How many men you've been with? Or have you ever performed whatever? Then maybe it's time to answer those questions. But if you interrogate me on the first date, I'm going to think you crazy. That's what I'm going to think. So I do think we should ask questions, and I do think we should answer questions. But I don't think we should be talking about marriage on the first date. I don't think we should be talking about children, even if I want children. I don't want to be like, well, you know, I want 5 kids or I want 2 kids. To me, I'm like, wait a minute. Why are we talking about kids? Wait a minute. And I wouldn't be talking about kids on my first date because I don't even know if I like this person. Now, I'm not saying I wait 2 years into dating before we start talking about it, but certain questions I think we should wait because then that just make you like a stalker or, I got my air quote, a killer because I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like a killer question. So I just want to hit that and just say we have to be mindful of the questions that we ask and when.
Absolutely. And I think what I'm running across is that in that 90 days, are you asking questions or are you just hanging out? Like, use that time to really discover who this person is. And those are some of the things. And I didn't know he was married. I didn't know that he was just separated. Like, did you not ask? Like, that's what I'm saying. There are times when people don't ask questions. And for me, I began to wonder, what had you not asked? To say, like, are you a guy who likes to have sex with other guys? Like, that's a question.
That's a good one.
Now, I may not ask that on the first date, but that is a question that needs to be asked. Or have you ever had a threesome? It's just, I just think people are not asking enough questions. But thank you for the clarification, because you're right. I don't want people out there with their 50 question list. And, like, check. No.
Yeah.
Like, well, to me, that first date is a meet and greet. Let me see if I like you, if we like each other, and let's see from there. And it's just a meet and greet, and then we plan a date. Or that one could turn into a date, but I usually don't set enough time for it to become a date. My meet and greets are 2 hours, and then I'm out. Like, let's plan something else. If you like me, let's do something else later on. But to the question about your children, what would you tell them?
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things I love the most about my mom is she was a very open person. Like, I promise you, I can remember I was in the fourth or third grade, and my mom, I have a sister that she's a little younger than me. My mom went and bought us a book and it was age appropriate about the reproduction system. And I'm like, ew, like, what's that? And she began to talk to us about it. And she talked to us about cycle and the vagina. And she gave a birds and bees explanation, but it wasn't birds and bees. She talked about sex. And she said the reason she did that was because her mom told her, if you kiss, you'll get pregnant. And so she was kissing my dad and thought she was pregnant, walking around, holding her stomach, scared to talk to her mom. And she said she made a vow to herself to never not have those conversations, because education, knowledge is key. Like, you need to know what's going on. And so she talked to us about sex. And I remember she made it to where we could feel comfortable and safe, and like, you know, you can always come and talk to me. I would rather you wait until you are mature enough to handle a sexual relationship. And my mom said, because when you have sex, you get clingy. You get where you going, what you doing, how you feel, you know, da, 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 da. And she said, and you also want to be safe about it. Just because you're having sex with him and him only doesn't mean that he's the only one having sex with you. So she said, you want to protect yourself. So, and she had these conversations over and over. And she said, I don't ever want you to feel that something is going on that you can't come and talk to me versus going to your friend. So immediately, talking to my friends was not an option, because guess what? They were crazy just like I was. They knew the same dumb stuff that I knew. And so I was able to go talk to my mama. The first time I had sex, I was able to say, Mama, I had sex. One of my friends said, you know what, you and your mama, y'all too much like friends. And I'm like, no, we're not like friends. We had a mother-daughter appropriate relationship. And she talked to me about, you know, that you protect yourself, that you do. So I'm having these same conversations with my son. This is what sex is. And initially, my son said, oh, Mama, I don't feel comfortable having these conversations. And I'm like, and I know you don't, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is you can talk to me about anything. I'm not going to say that I always agree or that I prefer it, but I would rather you come to me than to ask one of your peers. So I'm talking. I'm talking about masturbation. I'm talking about vaginal sex. I'm talking about oral sex. We're talking about all of that. And let me just tell you this other story. Me and my son were sitting down watching the movie Blackish with that comedian Anthony and Tracy Ellis Ross. And this was some time ago. And the lady said something about, somebody said something about oral sex. And then my son said, oral sex? What's oral sex? And I said, you know what? I don't know if you're ready for that conversation. And he said to me, it doesn't matter. If you don't tell me, I just ask one of my friends at school. I was like, oh, Lord. Okay, so don't I want you at the schoolhouse talking about what's oral sex and get yourself in trouble. So I told him what oral sex was. I said it's when a man or a female puts their mouth on a person's genital. And he said, and that's pleasurable? I said, yes, it is. But when you get older, and then you know you'll find out. But at the same time, I didn't, because he, guess what? He was going to go to school and probably ask one of his male friends or a female friend and was probably going to get into trouble. Or they would have came back and said something like, anal sex, or I don't know. But I didn't want him to get a false understanding of what oral sex was. Now he knows. Now he gets it. So it's an open conversation. Whatever question he has, if he's old enough to ask it, then I'm old enough and mature enough to answer it. So that's just my position on the conversation on sex.
I like that. I like that that he even said, that's okay, I'll just ask my friends. And you was like, oh, I need to have this conversation right now, because now I can educate versus,
absolutely,
I don't know what his friend's going to say. But, Jordan,
mm-hmm,
what about you? Do you have any children?
Oh, yeah, I got a gang of them.
See, that's what happens when you have kids before them 90 days.
I heard that. But, no, I guess talking to my kids, when I did talk to them, you know, I would – most like my kids, when I talk to them, well, my son, you know, I have two boys, two girls, and
okay,
my youngest son, you know, when he was at that age, he's 21 now. So when he was about, say, 16, 15, we had that talk, and I kind of just covered all the bases, the you know, the basics, but I just told them, you know, the one thing that you don't want to go into a relationship, you know, is just lying, you know. I think when you start to lie, you have to build on the lie, and you got to remember, and it's just too much work to do that. So I always told them to just be honest and expect honesty from the person and don't accept anything less than that. I said, you know, you're gonna get heartbreak. You're gonna love and you're gonna be heartbroken. So expect that. It's hard to overcome. You know, and I just kind of went through the basics. But as far as sex, I can remember. It's funny that I say this, but I can remember. He was in the seventh grade. And he comes home, and he's looking funny, and he's walking sort of like bow-legged.
Oh.
So he says to me, he says, "Dad, it happened." And I said, "What happened?" And he said, "It happened." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And he's like, "Yes, it happened." And I didn't believe him. So I said, "How long did it take?" He said, "You really want to know?" I was like, "Yes, I really want to know." He said, "About like 2 minutes." I said, "Damn, he's telling the truth." But if he had told me 30 minutes, I would have been like, "Yeah, okay, now you think you're making a porno movie." But he said 2 minutes, and that was realistic. I said, "Dang." So that's when we had to talk. That's when we started, you know, and I said, "Did you use protection?" And he's always been an early starter and, you know, one of them kids that's, you know, he was an athlete and, you know, he was tall for his age and those type of things. So, you know, that's what we communicated with. And as far as my daughter, I never really got a chance to talk to her. You know, she's an emotional type of person, so I really never got a chance to talk to her. But that's my take on the kids' whole outlook.
So now, thank you for sharing that, Jordan. So what I'm really present to is, as I started off saying, is that a lot of times these are strategies that we come up with to determine if our relationship is going to be successful. As women, we're wanting to keep our numbers low because there are so many negative words out there for women who enjoy sex. Like, it's all this slut shaming versus I like sex. Like, why do I have to be a slut just because I like sex? But it's like this is how we control women's sexuality, is that we come up with all these different negative connotations about a woman who enjoys sex. And it's the same thing. Like, if this had been your 12-year-old daughter who came home and said, "Dad, it happened," like, how would you have felt about it? Like, what would have been the response? It's like when our sons come home and said that they've done it, it's like, okay, did you use protection? But we don't have this conversation. And I'm just saying, because the way that children feel about sex now is entirely different than when I was growing up. There was still that conversation about waiting until you get married, or at least waiting until you're in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people say, "I'm going to wait until I get married before I have sex." But once again, they're trying to make sure that this turns out. And we already know you can wait until you get married, and it still doesn't mean that it will be happily ever after. And you can have sex on the first date, and that can turn into a relationship and a marriage, and you can still stay together 25 years later. No one knows, because sex is not the glue that cements a relationship, but we treat it as if it's the glue that's going to cement the relationship. So I need to make sure I wait until I know that it's going to turn out. Versus for me, I like what you said, Dr. Lamar. Is this person going to be able to deal with my emotional needs, my mental needs, my spiritual needs? Like, are they wanting to care for me? And because I'm already letting them know, afterwards, And because I become clingy afterwards, then I want to make sure that you can deal with it. And if you can't deal with it, then we don't need to be together. Like, if you let me know up front, you know, women are so clingy. I can't stand a clingy woman. Hey, next, I'm moving on. Because what I'm trying to make sure that turns out is that you care about me, that you're interested in providing some emotional support for me, that cuddle time. Like, I like to cuddle afterwards. Now, I'm going to move over and go to sleep. Sometimes I like to talk or whatever it is. But I want to know when I wake up in the morning that you're still looking at me with those goo-goo gaga eyes, as Jordan says. I want to know that you like me. And I want to know that you respect me, that this wasn't another notch. Now, of course, I'm older. Like, when we're younger, I think these are some of the things that happen where it seems as if there's a conquest. Like, a man is out to get as many notches on his belt as he can. And so I think as we gotten older, we think men are still trying to do the same thing. And it's not to say that there aren't men out there who are just playing the sex game, but I do believe that men, the older a man gets, he begins to honor his body more. And it's not about that physical need as much as it is. I think he begins to recognize there's an emotional need and the aggravation, because there's aggravation. If you were a woman and you know that she's going to become clingy, it's like, do I want to deal with this? Because women can become stalkerish after some good sex. Like, where are you going? I'm showing up at your door. I'm knocking on. And I like what you said. You hit this, we go together. Like, okay. And don't take that comment lightly, because I'm at your house. I'm at your job. I'm calling your mom and them.
But you know what? You need to be clear. What does go together look like? Somebody posted on Facebook yesterday, how do you feel about being in a sexual relationship with a girl that, you know, that you've had sex with several times and her popping up at your house? So all of see, this is the stuff that we don't talk about. If we go together, this is what this looks like. And it gives that person the opportunity to say, yeah, no, that's not what we do. And this is the God and his truth, and my husband's going to kill me about this, but I told my husband, I said, listen, I'm a bugaboo. I like to be booed up. I'm just saying, I like spending time. I still like holding hands. I can stay up under my husband all day. And sometimes people say, you don't need a break. I need a break, but it's not regularly, right? You know, and so the point I'm trying to make is these conversations need to happen. And I told him, I didn't put necessarily a time restraint on when we would have sex, but I told him, once we have sex, that means I have decided in my heart that I want to be with you. That is me solidifying that, like JD just said, we go together. So if we have sex, I need for you to know, so when you decide in your head, or if I initiate, or if you initiate, once this has been consummated, we go together. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is what go together look like for me. When I say we go together, that means I get to pop up. Now I'm talking about me. That means I get to pop up. That means I get to answer your phone. You can answer my phone. I can answer your door. You know, that means, I mean, of course, we still, you know, have to communicate on the things that we want and we need. But this is what I need. This is what I need to feel safe with this relationship. He could have easily said, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a woman answering my phone. That right there would have told me that he's not the guy for me. And that doesn't mean I just walk around and when the phone rings, I run to it and he's like, no, that's not it. But I don't have to feel nervous, like if the phone's ringing, you outside, I'm looking for you. I'm answering the phone because we are adults. And if I can't answer the phone, it's like, well, what you hide? And we haven't said, that's scary. Is that your wife? So that's why I'm saying these are the things that I put in place. When I told my husband, I said, now, we have sex, we a couple. That's it, we a couple. After that happened, he could have easily said, you know what, that was your rule, not mine, and I don't want to comply with it. That would have had me to decide, do you stay or do you leave? Me being the person that I am, that would have set the standard. If I would have stayed, I would have been getting tricked for the whole relationship. If he would have said, you know what, I don't want to do this, then I would have just left and charged that to the game. So I think we have to be clear on what it is that we want. We have to be clear on what it is that we need. And we have to be clear on that, being clear on if that person can provide it. And if they can't provide you what you need, then you need to be comfortable enough to walk away.
That was very well said, Dr. Lamar. I love that because you're right. We need to say what going together looks like. Like, this is what it looks like. And I also like what you said, once this relationship is consummated, once we do the nasty, then that's us going together because that means that I'm ready emotionally, and it's not based upon a time frame. I think you got some noise, Dr. Lamar. It's not based upon a time frame. It's based upon an emotional connection, and that once I'm there, then we're going together, and this is what it's going to look like. And like you said, and are you signing on for that? And I like what you also said, Jordan. Tell the truth. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Don't be doing that. I'm not interested in that type of relationship. To say, because then that gives her the choice to say, well, that's what I want. And since you don't want this, then, you know, let's just be friends or let's just part ways. But don't pretend that, you down with it and you cool, especially if she done said this is what it looks like. And I think a man needs to also say, well, nope, this is what it looks like for me. This is what going together looks like. So that we can see if we're on the same page. And that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. People are not talking about this. Because if you're really saying this is what it looks like, I think a lot less people will feel like they got tricked. A lot less people will feel hurt. And clear communication. A man can say, you know, I like you. You got a slamming body. And let's see where this going. Because I don't heard that. Well, let's see where it's going to go. I'm not one of those people who like to hang out and see where it's going to go. No, I need to know the destination. And if I don't know the destination, it's like sometimes people like getting in their car and driving. But at the end of the day, they know they're coming back home. So to me, you still got a destination in mind. You're coming back home. I don't know too many people, unless they got dementia, who just get in their car and just keep driving. So I like that, Dr. Lamar, and I hope our listeners pay attention to that. What you want to do is determine where it's going and have some rules and standards and then adhere to those rules and standards. Because like you said, I love the other piece that you said. If we had done it, and then he said, no, I ain't signing up for that, and you stayed, you said I would have felt tricked throughout the rest of the relationship.
Yeah. Oh, he would have tricked me, because that would have been the trump card, right? That, you know what, she liked me, she's not going away, and she's not going to hold me accountable for what she says she really wants, so I can really do what I want to do. And I was like, you know what, I'm not down for a relationship like that. I don't like feeling taken advantage of.
Right. And so with that being said, we have reached the last 3 minutes of our call. I want to thank Jordan for being here with us this morning. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jordan.
And
you're welcome.
And with that being said, Dr. Lamar, what you got for us?
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Jordan. You always so very insightful, and I really, truly enjoy having you on. You get a lot of positive feedback about the information that you share, so I thank you, thank you, thank you. If you all want to get more information about the Two Wise Women, you can visit our website. Jadea's website is youareworthy.org. And Dr. Lamar's website is thewiseinc.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Jadea Jackson, JAIDEIJACKSON, or The Wise Inc., TheWiveSinc. Thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact BHL, which is Behavior Health Link, and that number is 1-800-715-4255. I would like to thank you again for listening to the show. I wish that everyone have a wonderful week, and we will hear and talk to you on our next radio show, which is the first and third Friday of every month. Thank you, and we're signing off.
Thank you.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J. Neal and Dr. Lamar.
That's right.